The word conceit. What does the dictionary say about that before we get into all the spiritual angles of it? Being conceited means having an inflated self sense of self-importance. Having an inflated sense of self-importance or an exaggerated opinion of oneself. You might describe someone as conceited if they have an excessively high opinion of themselves, even if they are brilliant. Some will say being conceited or conceit means arrogance, being egotistic, haughty, overbearing, pompous, proud, self-important, and vain. It goes on and on and on. I'm going to give two stories today that will allow our mind to really see clearly what it feels like and how we can save ourselves, because it can lead to destruction, it can lead to obstacles and impediments, it can keep us away from feeling the presence of God every nano moment of our lives. And that's why in Luke chapter 18, verse 19, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. That was Jesus talking. In the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verse 3, do nothing out of rivalry, if you are competing with somebody, or conceit, but in humility, consider others as more important than yourselves. For God loves the humble. That's why when Jesus and the disciples are moving and they're born, if you don't know, you can't tell the difference between them and Jesus. That's why it was harder for them to go and arrest him until Judas gave him the kiss. May God never send us something that will give us the kiss of death. Because conceit can lead us to that, where we don't see clearly when Spirit say, don't do that. And then we blame it on Satan. What has Satan got to do with that? It is us. We chose to be arrogant. And Satan is minding his own business. I say, oh, you want to come to my side? Okay, you're welcome. I'll give you a serious buffet to eat. And you know, once that happens, well, that's kiss of death. Until God's grace snatches us out of it. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, he says, and all of you, you and I, everyone else, including the dogs and cats, and although we might be eating them, and all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. All of us clothe ourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. See, it's so easy to quote all these biblical chapters. Some might resonate with us, some will just come in from the right and goes at the left. But we who are called, this is our job. This is our professional work. Sometimes we need to quote that so that in case something misses, maybe there's one that we at least catch up. Maybe there's one seed that we get on the fertile ground and hold. First Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Now, those were just abbreviations. So now I will quote exactly what how they go in. When you feel you're above others, because that's what leads to prejudices, racism, you name it, classism. You don't want to sit beside somebody of color. You don't want to sit beside an LGBT. You don't want to have anything to do with them, or because they're obese, or, you know, or because they're evangelical. Oh, I don't interact with Republicans. I don't interact with Democrats. I don't interact with libertarians, even independents. And our country, this United States, has been filled with that pride. And now we're witnessing all the things we thought we would never do because we are the citadel of democracy. What they used to accuse the third world, they call them third world, as if God told them that. You know? Who ever thought all the things that are going on now? Somebody can just talk in opposition, they might get a bullet in the head. Or the other one say, why are you shooting me? You should shoot the other one. Remember during COVID where we had the talk, they call somebody Karen, they call somebody, you know. We should examine ourselves closely. Don't label anyone that God has not labeled. And this is common in the on the spiritual path, where we think because we're following God, we're on the spiritual path, we're better off. We're better than those who don't talk about God. And of course, God knows the heart. In Isaiah 65, verse 5, he says, our nature seeks to exalt itself above others. Our nature. To esteem itself holier than thou. And we have to watch it because it's in the human nature. We think we're better than animals. Isn't that why some are cruel to them? We think we're better than trees. Some might want to cut them down. In Philippians 2, verse 3 to 11. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself. That is the full thing there. But the Lord said to Samuel, this is Prophet Samuel now, do not consider his outward appearance. Even to the prophets, the Lord has to warn them. Even the angels, haven't we talked stories where the angels thought the drunkard is, you know, and then the one who's doing meditation practice is closer to God. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his outward appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. I guess height can mean physical height or social height or anything. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. That's the full sentence for them. And then in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, he says, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. And older people tend to do that. Well, they don't have common sense. And God has given the youth common sense. And we think our generation is better, isn't it? Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. God says, if you're going to behave like you want to be like my child, you, the way you claim, your words must mirror that. In speech, in conduct, your actions and activities must mirror that. The way you love, you give love, must mirror that. In love, in faith and purity. And you must have that faith. Even when I test you to the, all the way to the bone of your marrow, to the marrow of your bone, you must have that faith, back to the bone. Test to the bone, your bone marrow. You must still have that faith. And above all, you must live in that purity of being humble. Because we keep forgetting, we are so arrogant. That's what Isaiah was saying. I mean, our arrogance makes us tell God what we want, as if God doesn't even know about our lives before we were even created. I mean, sometimes I just sit there and say, Lord, I can't even believe you take this abuse from all of us. Because here I am telling you, this is what I want. You're not giving me what I want. As if I created myself, as if you don't know. And then when I don't listen and I do what God doesn't want, and then it blows out in my face, who do I cry to? The same God. Talk about foolish, super arrogance and conceited. Instead of saying every morning or every moment, say, thank you, God. Because God knows where he's leading us. If we live in that purity, we feel connected. Thou and I never apart. Thou and I never apart. The wave of the sea dissolving the sea. The wave of the sea dissolving the sea. I am thy bubble, make me the sea. All of us are not separated from God. You want to feel, you want to think you are separated? Well, see, if God removes the air you are breathing, the moment you are still on your feet, you are breathing, even if you are dying and you are still breathing, you are not separated from God. And so if you are not separated from God, don't you think God knows what is really good for you? And yet, in our arrogant conceit, like, Lord, this is what I want. And you better make it happen. Or else I'm not going to talk to you anymore. I'm going to go to the other side. As if God is not present on the other side. Even Satan knows God is present. And if God says no, that's it. But we are so full of ourselves. And because we don't feel, we feel separated from God. Because then we say, okay, you won't answer my prayer. I'm going to go to Jesus. As if Jesus is isolated from God. Oh, no, Jesus is there. He will do it without God's knowledge. I'm going to go to the archangels, to the saints. Oh, I'm going to get some herbs and some rocks and, you know, as if all of that, they are divine, that God doesn't know. Do we get this, how arrogant we are? And yet, we look down on God because that's what we do. Oh, you don't have the power. You can fulfill my prayer. Because if you do, you would have fulfilled the prayer by now. You don't see what is going on. Let me tell you. Let me tell you how my day has gone. As if the Lord was sleeping. As if your day could go on. Any of our days could go on if God didn't okay. Let me tell you, good Lord, how my day has gone. Sometimes, like, Lord, let me tell you, I really don't care for Paul the apostle. Some of what he said doesn't, as if God didn't know, what Paul said. As if God didn't know that I'm not the one, I'm the one not getting it, right? Let us avoid what would put us upside down. If the wave cannot separate itself from the ocean, and the wave is just a bubble of the ocean, we should remember not to separate ourselves from God by being so proud. Here's one of the four stories. We've all heard about racism. And if you think it's only in the United States, then you haven't been reading the news. If they don't call it racism in other places because everybody looks the same color, there'll be tribalism, there'll be nepotism, you name it. Oh, you are from my tribe. Oh, okay, well, you are my daughter. You are my, there's always something. Here's the story in a flight, we've all flown some airplane, let on the airline. So the airline, that flight was pretty much full. Well, here comes this woman, and it could be a woman, and it could be a man. So let's say here comes this person. You can assign the gender you want. But in this story, they said, here comes a woman who sat by a man who is a person of color. The woman is like 50-something, so probably the youth, they are much better. Maybe we haven't poisoned them with racism and prejudices. So the woman called the flight attendant. The attendant thought maybe something like, yes. He said, don't you get it? Why did you guys put me beside this man? I don't like their kind. So that could be a Caucasian talking about a black man. That could be an Asian talking about another Asian because they're of different tribe. That could be a black person talking about another black person because for whatever reason, maybe they don't belong to the same class. Because it's so easy to point fingers. I don't want to see baby, look at how big it is, he's taking the whole place, isn't it? I said, yeah, so that person is big. Isn't that person a child of God? They don't have the right to live. You paid the same amount of money they paid, so why can't they sit? And now even the airline are charging them double fare because they are big. So it doesn't have to be skin color alone. You name it. It could be somebody who doesn't want to sit beside a mother and a child because the child might be crying. So this person said, don't you get it? And the flight attendant said, don't you get it? I don't like that. You can't sit me there. Isn't there another seat you can take me to? The flight attendant said, well, the whole place is pretty much booked. Nothing. And this is not first class, this is economy. Even in the economy, they are full of themselves. So the flight attendant said, let me see what I can do. She went to talk to the pilot. So she came back and said, ma'am, yeah, just like I thought, the flight is fully booked. Even in business class, we don't have any seat. But apparently there's one seat left in the first class. And I spoke to the pilot, and the pilot says, well, since we want to treat want our customers to feel comfortable and happy. He says, so since you don't want to sit beside this person because he's not your type or he's so it's then the flight attendant talked to the man and said, sir, please come with me. And took the man to the first class. And this is what the flight attendant said at the last point. Said, therefore, sir. Oh, she said, however, given the circumstances, let me go back. But the woman could say anything, hostess continued, it is not usual for our company not to take care of, our people, even from economy class. Given the circumstances that the whole thing is filled and you're not feeling comfortable, the captain feels that in order not to create all this unnecessary thing, we don't want you to sit next to someone who's disgusting. So she turned and said to the black person, therefore, sir, if you would like, please take your hand luggage, your carry-on, and come with me to the first class. At that moment, other passengers were shocked because they could hear this dialogue going on by what they just read. They stood up and applauded. You would think initially maybe she has so much money. I thought initially she was sitting in first class. You are sitting in economy class. You are discriminating again because you think you are better than somebody else. That is being considered. And like the Spirit of God says, who raises himself in that pride will be lower. Who raises will be, and that's what happened. Now, the second story of the night is about a young man. The story says an elderly gentleman was sitting by the seashore, and was reading the Bible. He was minding his own business. He didn't intrude on anyone. Or you could say he was reading the scriptures, because depending on what path, with the reading the Bhagavad Gita or the Quran or the Avesta. And this man considered himself a very talented atheist. So he sat by the gentleman. Nobody invited him, but his arrogance invited him to sit right there. And he sat by and he saw the man reading the Bible. And he started taunting. He said, in the age of science, only foolish people prefer to read old-fashioned books like the Bible. I guess we are getting into the AI movement, so anything now you see them. If you would have devoted same time to science, he's telling this old man, then by now it would have helped this country to greater heights. The elderly man said nothing, was still minding his own business. And then asked him, said, Who are you? What do you do? The young man replied, I am a science graduate from MIT. And I have come to make a career in the Atomic Research Center. The young man continued to say to the elderly man, if you keep reading the scriptures, you won't be able to achieve anything. Because to him, the arrogance of him saying he's an atheist and he's a scientist. The elderly man smiled and then rose up to leave. He wasn't going to engage him. But as soon as he got up, he saw that some FBI agents were there with the gentleman. And they brought an official car which he got into. Why was the FBI agents and the official car? Because they know the worth of the man. Seeing this, the young man panicked and asked, who are you? Now he's asking the gentleman replied with a smile, say, I'm the director of the Atomic Research Center. It was the same center the young man wanted to go and make a career in science, isn't it? And even there are buildings in that Atomic Research Center that was named after the director. So you can imagine the guy who first did the nuclear. Some of us might remember the story of the three African American women who contributed to the launching of the but they never gave them their credit until now. And this man that he was harassing is well known in the engineering science field, you know, as one of the fathers of, you know, yeah. So now the young man felt ashamed for his arrogance. And now he was profusely apologizing. And the director said to him, behind every creation, there's always the creator. So it doesn't matter whether it is the Bible you are reading or something else. Say, never forget God. Because science has been created by God. Because God inspires. And God doesn't care whether you call yourself an atheist or an evangelical. I bet you that young man would have done things differently if he knew that was the director who started the whole atomic research. But because he's an old man now and he's reading scriptures, that makes him like he's dumb. May we live a life that allows wisdom to guide us and not the conceited heart. May God protect us from all forms of arrogance, that we may live clearly and joyfully in the Spirit of God. Amen.
Amen. Amen.